Yo, welcome to another edition of Team Ambition Fitness Podcast. I'm your host and coach, John Robinson. I'm joined by my lovely wife and coach of Team Ambition, Kalila Robinson.
Hey, everybody.
So we're in for a special treat today. I have a good friend of mine, Irene Johnson. Say what's up.
Hello. What's up, people?
How you doing?
Great. How are you guys?
Awesome. Thank you. First off, let me just jump off the ledge here and say thank you very much for doing this with us. Even though we're from afar, we're always here in Florida. You're always in California. So again, I appreciate you doing this with us. So we're excited about jumping into the topic of the night. So can you tell our listeners, our friends, followers, and family members a little about who you are?
Yeah, so name's Irene, as you mentioned. Thanks for the invite. This is a really great opportunity for me, not just to share kind of a little bit about myself, but also hopefully relate to some other people who may be or may have experienced some of the things that I have. Currently stationed in San Diego, California. Love it out here. My husband and I just bought a house. We have a 10-year-old daughter that stays with us here in San Diego, and we have two other children that live in the Bronx. Been in the Navy for about 14 years, almost 15, and currently working as a survival instructor out here in San Diego, which I'm absolutely loving. But I'm a hospital corpsman, technically a dental tech by trade. So that's a little bit about me.
Shout out, love DTs, let's go. Hey, congratulations to you guys becoming homeowners. That's a huge, huge thing. That's an awesome accomplishment. So shout out to your husband, so mm-hmm. Mr. Johnson. So, hey, good stuff.
Yes, congratulations. That's exciting.
So we're just going to dive straight on in. So today's topic is talks a little bit about, you know, the struggles of nutrition and trying to, you know, being confident with our own bodies. So let me just jump into one of the questions I have for you. So when did you start feeling as if that you were struggling with like food, nutrition, maybe even confidence or just some of your struggles that you had faced at one point or another?
Yeah, this is a great question. I'm actually really, like I said, excited to talk about this topic because I think it's one of those topics that socially we make public, but we don't make public to the extent of how it really affects people. And I was trying to think back, you know, when I really started struggling with body image, weight, nutrition, those sort of things. And I think what makes my story a little different is a lot of, you know, I'm going to refer to females a lot here, but not specifically just females when I'm in referencing to what I'm talking about, struggle with that body image, really those preteen development years, where for me, it's been more of a struggle in my adult life. Okay. So I think that's a little different than the typical, you know, people who suffer from eating disorders and the comparison and the healthy relationship with food. A lot of times that starts younger for people. But I think we need to start bringing a new light to, you know, adults, the mid-30s, the people of that age who are still either just starting to suffer or feel those things or are trying to work through those things. So I would say for me, it's been more my adult life than, you know, preteen or teenage years when I really started to dive in and notice this struggle with food, nutrition, weight, and body image.
So, you know, what you had stated about, you know, the social side of it, especially being as an adult, would you feel like maybe even social media plays a part on that too?
Oh my goodness. Social media has amped. I think has amped, if that's the word I could think of, has amped that comparison. You know, I'm a true believer. Comparison is the thief of joy. I'll say that again. Comparison is the thief of joy. And with the accessibility of social media and you being able to see fitness models, IG models, plastic surgery is huge, and all of these just platforms that young adults, adults my age, any age group could find themselves suffering from that comparison via social media and that exposure of those sort of platforms. So I think definitely social media has made that more difficult and amped the comparison and the expectation or the social standard.
I wholeheartedly agree. I can speak, you know, definitely in experience with that. You know, meeting different people that, you know, we've trained, you know, that is a struggle trying to, if, you know, you're constantly comparing yourself to what you see through social media. More so, like, I want to say social media, even some of those interactions that you make, the people that you may be surrounded with. But yeah, definitely social media it does kind of take the confidence from some people, because they constantly comparing themselves to these different models or fitness people or just in general. And I don't think they realize some of the things that these people go through or what they've gone through or whatnot to look that way. And because a lot of people say, you know, what is it? It's you see all the highlights, you don't see all the bloopers, if you will. So there's exactly. A lot to go.
Social media is that false. It's a false reality. You yes. only present the best product, if you get what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
You only show that best image, and then people look at that and think that's the standard and literally shop around. I mean, you could probably relate to this. People come to you and say, I want my body to look like this person.
Yes. Yes.
Like, and not understanding that that may not be physically capable
right.
for you and your body stature standard composition and those things. So people are literally using social media to shop for their dream body, which is a whole other mental disorder, in my opinion.
So with these different challenges that we just addressed, what have you found that, you know, that's helped you, you know, get through some of these body images challenges or whatnot?
Yeah, I think following some people who have openly shared their struggles and that are vulnerable to the public, that are open and transparent and make it very clear that this isn't always what I've been. I think seeing that, and I think honestly the biggest thing is gratitude daily with your body and saying, you know, I birthed a child 10 years ago, but this is me and my body's amazing and it does amazing things. And just because when I look at myself and maybe not like that image, still being grateful and having gratitude for what my body has been through.
Yes.
Physically, I think that we lose that. We forget that. We forget how our body just is on this autopilot mode, you know, to recover if you have an injury, to you know, go in Wolverine mode if you have an accident. You know, it just does it on its own.
Yeah.
You literally take a breath without thinking. You know what I'm saying? And you literally see visions, and you can just embrace the world through your body if you acknowledge that as being like a superpower, honestly. If that makes sense.
No, absolutely. I like the fact that you talked about transparency. And just being like, you know, pretty much you see what you get, you know. So I definitely like that part about being transparent. And, you know, as you talked about, you know, following different people or, you know, seeking out those who are either going through or gone through those challenges will help those individuals deal with it. Because kind of like, you know, when I saw your post, I definitely had to want to chime in, you know, reach out to you. I think that's, you know, your experiences of what we're on this today's topic is going to be huge for those listeners who tune into this podcast. So again, I'm very, very humbled that you allowed me to do this with you. So,
for sure.
So one of the things I'm going to also ask is, we kind of addressed it. You notice this more in your adult life versus your adolescent life, so to speak. So I guess that one moment in time for you, was more so in your adult life, right?
Yeah, I actually, I'd went on a deployment, and I think that this is honestly when it started to really become like body image, food become an obsessive thing for me. I'd never really remembered prior to that deployment obsessing about my body as much as I did after I had returned home. I went on a 9-month deployment. I lost 40 pounds, literally swam in everything I put on my body. It was down to 117 pounds. And I remember just clinging to wanting to stay that size, which was it's unrealistic if you're not in that deployment status.
Yes.
Because, you know, you have time to work out. You're living on a ship. I was living on a ship. The nutrition, the food is very limited as far as, you know, being of anything that tastes good, that is appetizing, that is appeasing. So I remember working out 2 hours a night and limiting my food intake and just doing a ton of cardio to lose the initial weight, and then really getting into falling in love. I'll say this, falling in love with weight training. It was my therapy. It was my escape. But while that was all great and I had changed my lifestyle, when I came home, the pressure to still obtain that, to still maintain that weight and that look, started to become obsessive. Anytime I put something in my mouth, I would run and work out. I remember when my husband and I were dating, he had made a comment that I'll never forget. He said, "If you put as much effort into our relationship as you did the gym, we'd be in a very different place." And he looked at that addiction as a negative thing because it consumed my whole being. And I think then, you know, I transferred to Beaufort in South Carolina, and I carried that on, eating super clean. And anytime I gained weight or, you know, ate something, I had this like obsession to go to the gym. And then something clicked where I think work just started to consume me more. I remember thinking to myself, I want to put my love and my feelings into relationships with people.
Right.
Not inward, and not just the gym being my main focus. My daughter was young at the time, and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm spending hours in the gym when I should be home momming, you know? Right. So that was a little shift there where I started to get a little bit more relaxed. And I had a breast augmentation done, and I wanted that more curvier look. Mm-hmm. So after that had happened, after I had a procedure done, I wasn't able to do the physical things as far as upper body curls, push-ups, until I healed, which, you know, they give you a 6 to 8 week kind of timeline. It was a year before I was able to really get back in and do like a solid, you know, 10 push-ups, 3 reps or whatever.
Right.
And I think that kind of was the tipping point to me relaxing my obsession with physical fitness.
Well, again, thanks for being transparent with that. You know, just that addiction of wanting to always stay in that form that you were in a deployment status, like you said, 9 months, you pretty much don't have nowhere else to go, but, you know, to work, to eat, to work out, whatever. And then that's just your normal routine for like 6, 7, 8, 9 months or whatnot. And then you get back and feeling as though you're going to walk around the same way you were over those 9 months. Yeah, that can be a frustrating thing, especially with the limited resource that you have. So being that, you know, you alluded to that you're in the military, you're in the Navy or whatnot, obviously both are. But being that that's do you feel like, being that also it's a male dominant organization, do you feel that social pressure, or being that you're a woman too, is that pressure from the male dominant, well, from the male side of things, feeling that you have to look and feel a certain way?
Yeah, I think that our organization has tried to make some solid attempts for that that gender equality. But I think that it's something that probably impact women a little bit more, in feeling that they need to still fight to have the equality or to be viewed in the same aspect. And I think that, you know, with PFAs or the physical fitness assessments that we used to have, we hopefully will get them back soon, but that we used to do, to maintain that standard is also a thief of joy for me. Personally, I was one of those ones, 10 week, you know, you get your 10 week notification of the test, the physical fitness test, like, oh my gosh, 10 weeks, I need to start reducing my caloric intake. I need to start doing all of these things to make that weight. And I think that with females specifically, you can look at them and think, oh, there's no way that they weigh that much. Mm-hmm. When it's like, I get on the scale, I got some LBs on me, you know what I mean? So the the standard there is challenging. It's challenging because you want to live and you want to, you know, joy in food. And I've always, you know, I come from an obese family, where everyone in my family is overweight and struggles with weight. And I say this all the time, I could look at food and gain weight. So I think that being in the military and constantly having to maintain those standards.
To be technical difficulty here. Okay, sorry, we had small little technical difficulty. Sorry. But as you were saying, whenever, you know, you left off at whenever we had to do our PRTs or PFAs, especially as women, you know, we get that 10-week notice to be prepared to be in standards and be ready for these weigh-ins or the physical fitness part of it. So, yes, as you were saying, I'm sorry.
I was saying I come from an obese family where weight is, you know, everyone is overweight. Diabetes runs rampant in my family. And the standards that the military has presented have almost been a blessing and a curse to me, because I think without those standards, I may have even more of an issue with my size and weight gain. It's almost, you know, forces me to remain in the standard. But it also robs me of my joy sometimes, because I find happiness in food. I am an emotional eater, and I like to eat when I'm happy. I like to eat when I'm sad. I like to eat when I'm stressed. I like to eat when I'm depressed. I like to, you know, so right. I think because of that, it's been a good thing to have that weight standard. But I think it, at other times, other women I've spoken to feel kind of robbed of the joy to just be free and consume and not feeling of, oh my gosh, I have to maintain this specific standard, if that makes sense.
Right. You know, speaking from a male point of view in regards to our organization and the requirements, you know, it's similar on both sides, even for males. You know, we get that 10-week notice and then it's almost like panic mode or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think you've seen that through your time in our organization and whatnot. But yeah, it's a challenge. It is a challenge. So also one thing I was going to ask, and I think you kind of touched on it. I said, you know, you're definitely an influential person who can assist or let people follow you and your journeys through, you know, life, period, not just, mm-hmm. you know, health and wellness and food, but just life, because, you know, we follow one another. I think that your energy, your positive vibes that you let off, you know, a lot of people need that in their lives, and, you know, we connect through that platform of social media. So with that also being said, are there any other influential people that you follow or that resources that you recommend for our listeners or subscribers to, you know, reach out to?
Yeah, so definitely the whole TAF team. Whenever I see you guys posting your workouts and just that constant reminder that people are out there getting it, no matter if they're at a gym or they're doing, like, you know, the home workouts, that's very inspirational to me. So I always like to follow whoever you guys actually usually at on your pages. There's a couple people. There's a really cool, he's actually a dude, who has a page called Obese to Beast.
Okay.
Obese to Beast. Check him out. His journey is amazing and super motivating. There's also a Sarah Van Denberg. So I can add it for you so you can post it. But she, I actually found on TikTok. And she's I love her stuff because she's a very realistic shape and size and posts very easy workouts that you can do in your home. But she's just very down to earth, transparent. And then there's a fun one, Cheat Day Design, at Cheat Day Design on Instagram. And they kind of post, it's ran by a Matt Rosenman. And he kind of posts just things like, hey, dude, if you want a donut, eat it. Like, just really just lighthearted memes that I'm like, okay, you know, cheat day. I don't know. Some people don't believe in that. Cheat meal. Some people don't believe in that. But it just kind of reduces, when I read his page or something comes across, the pressure. mm-hmm. the pressure of, oh my gosh, I have to get this workout in today, or oh my gosh, I should be doing this. That, you know, life is short. We need to enjoy it, and we need to not be so obsessive about this body image that society has now set a standard for, and with social media on top of that. So those are the couple people that are pages that really kind of keep me going.
Okay. We will definitely check that out. And as we speak, actually, Cleo's actually looking some of that stuff up now. So we'll definitely check that out. And thanks. Very humble. Thank you very much for the love to Team Ambition. As you know, previous team member and whatnot. So, you know, body imaging, shaming, whatnot, you know, that, as I was saying before, you know, this is education to me, right? Because I personally never dealt with it in my lifetime. And not saying that I'm perfect or anything like that. No stretch of imagination, I'm not perfect. But I've never physically or had any experience in dealing with it. But just listening to this on top of, you know, our other conversation we've had, it is eye-opening. And I see it through social media or, you know, different posts and whatnot. So it's educational, like, right now. So I appreciate you sharing, you know, your knowledge on it and your experience from it. So as I like to say, call them F3s, right? So our friends, followers, and family members are F3s. So the people who are going to be listening to this podcast, if they don't follow you, how can they follow you through Instagram or Facebook or any other social media channel that you can provide for us?
Yeah, I'm at Renee K. Johnson on Instagram. I think that's probably my best platform. I usually use Facebook just for family things. Nice. But Instagram is where I'm at. And I think just a little thing I'd like to add is just let's remember to be kind. Social media, Instagram, those things, they're great platforms if they're used correctly and they're used wisely and kindly. Those hearts, hearting people that need that extra support, that need the extra push, just being kind, I think, goes a really long way, and we need more of that in today's world. So that's my kind plug.
Yes, more love and less hate. More love and less Correct. Hate. Well, Irene, thank you so much for allowing us to do this with you. You know, I don't have anything else, but hey, for all of our listeners, tune in to the next podcast coming. And as always, be epic, ambitious, and stay tenacious. We see you guys on the flip side. Peace.
Bye.
Bye.